Today we come to wrap up our series on looking at 1 Corinthians. And the reason why you don't have a sermon outline is I want you to sit as the church at Corinth would have sat. This letter would have been read out to them from the front. And this is the close of the letter. And I think Paul closes in this way in a very particular reason. For this letter, you know, as we've gone through this series, the church has a lot of problems. The church is divided over different things, over whom they follow, over whether you have certain spiritual gifts. And if you didn't have certain ones, then they thought you weren't a true believer and other things. And we've touched on those in the last few weeks. And last week, we looked from 1 Corinthians 13, trying to understand what love was. And then Paul finishes this way. Because I think he wants to challenge them with all their division, all the issues that they had. I think he gets to the end of the letter and he says, do you actually know who you are? If you call yourself a believer, if you call yourself a Christian, if you call yourself part of the church of God, do you actually know who you are? Do you know what you believe in? And the inference, I think, is if you actually know what you believe in truly, and you do know the gospel message, and I think in 1 Corinthians 15 and the opening verses, we probably have the clearest and best summation of what the gospel message is. And I think Paul is suggesting here that if they truly knew this, if they truly believed it, then everything else that they were doing wrong, they wouldn't be doing wrong. They would actually listen to the rest of Paul's letter and live God's way. That's the challenge. So that today, that's how I want you to listen to it. And I want you to think, do you know what you believe? Do you know what Christians believe? Do you know what makes a Christian stand out from a non-Christian? Or what makes a Christian stand out from those of other religions? What makes a Christian or what makes a believer different? That's what I want us to think about today. And I can remember the very first time I was challenged on that question. I was a new Christian. I was at university studying engineering. And one of my mates there challenged me and he said, well, what do Christians believe, Stephen? And I sort of scratched my head and thought, well, what do we believe? And then very quickly, I came up with the simple and obvious answer, well, I believe in God. And he said, great, I actually believe in God too. I must be a Christian. I don't believe in the Bible or Jesus or any of that, but I believe in God, so therefore I'm a Christian too. I went away and reflected on that. Was my answer wrong? No. As a Christian, we believe in God. But my answer was not really the full answer, was it? If you said, oh, did you share the gospel with them? Well, no, I didn't do that either, did I? My answer was true, but not true enough. And I remember at that time, not long after that, I was reading through scripture and Jesus said that even the demons believe in God. They're not Christian. So there's got to be more to it than that. At the last census done in Australia, they looked at it and asked the question, do you believe in a God? 2/3 of Australians said they believe in a God or a God-like figure. Are they all Christians? No. So it's got to be more to the answer in what Christians believe. And I think it really is a very important question for us to think about. Because if you are here today and you know you're not a Christian, do you know why you're not a Christian? Do you know what it takes to become a Christian? And maybe today, though, you are here and you are a Christian. Do you actually know what you believe? Because we know that God calls us from the moment you become a Christian, you are to share about Jesus and the gospel with other people. Okay, it's not something that's if you really feel like it, you can do. We're actually challenged and commanded to do it. But how can we do it if we don't actually know what we believe? So that's why I think today it's a really important question for us to reflect on. What do Christians believe? And as I said, I think Paul finishes his letter in this way for a special reason, to challenge the church at Corinth. If you truly say you're a believer, then live like it, if you know what you believe. So what do we find out here? I think we find out two really important things that separates Christians from non-Christians and Christians from all other people who follow different religions. And the first is that we actually know that we need to be saved. Let me read to you again verse 1 and 2. Now, brothers and sisters, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel, you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preach to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. In verse 2, it says, by the gospel, you are saved. See, we know as a believer that we need to be saved. But saved from what? Well, look at verse 3. For I received what I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. We know we need to be saved. We know, verse 3 says, we need to be saved from our sins. Now, many of you people would know G.K. Chesterton. In the 20th century, in the London newspaper, The Times, they were trying to have this discussion with the people, asking them, where did evil come from? What was the nature of evil in the world? G.K. Chesterton wrote into the newspaper and he said this, "Dear sir, you ask what is wrong with humanity. I am. Yours sincerely, G.K. Chesterton." Do you get what he's saying? The basic problem, he says, basic problem when you look at the world is us. It's humanity. And I'm not sure who said it, but you've probably heard, it's a fairly famous saying, the heart of the problem is what? The problem of the human heart. We're the problem. Why are we the problem? Why did G.K. Chesterton say that what was wrong with humanity and what was wrong with our world, he was, humanity was? Well, it's because in our hearts, in our nature, we ignore God. We rebel against Him. Put it into biblical terms, we're sinners. We make that choice right from the very beginning to disobey God. Now, we don't like God telling us how to live. We don't like God saying this is the right way. We want to make our own choices. We either ignore Him or we outright disobey Him. And the Bible tells us because of this, then we can't be friends with God. Because of this, we're cut off from God. And sin matters to God. Now you might say, Stephen, but what about all the good things I do in life? Yeah, I pay my taxes, I look after people, I look after my parents, I serve on different charities, I try to work hard, I don't drink too much, I don't swear too much and all of that. I'm a good person. Doesn't that mean anything? Well, does it? To God, does it mean anything? If, you know, I remember the one of the guys at uni that I was with, he chimed into the conversation as well and said, yeah, I'm a Christian too. I don't believe in God, but I go to church every Easter and Christmas. Therefore, I'm a Christian. But is being good enough for God? Now, I want you to imagine this for yourselves. I want you to imagine that you're a judge in a court. Case is brought before you. A man was caught red-handed stealing from a property. Okay? Trial, conviction, guilty, it's all going to happen. It's very obvious. But the person stands up in court and says to you, the judge, the defendant says, but I just want you to know that on the Sunday morning I went to church before I went and robbed that place at night. Therefore, you've got to let me off because I'm a good boy. You're the judge. Would you let him off? No, you wouldn't let him off. So why do we think God will? Now, because there are a lot of people, they think God is basically sitting in heaven with a set of scales, and he measures up your bad things you do, and he measures up the good things, and as long as the good things outweigh the bad, then people think they're going to be okay with God. Was it okay with the judge? No. So why do we expect God's going to say it's okay? Because he doesn't. See, the good things we do, and it's good to do good things, it doesn't actually take away from all the times we choose to ignore, disobey, or sin against God. They don't take away from it. Imagine it another way. Imagine that God is light and we are dark because of our sin. What happens when you turn on the light in a dark room? What happens to the darkness? Disappears. Because light and darkness cannot go together. And it's like that with God. As sinners, knowing that we need to be saved from that, but we cannot save ourselves, means that's why we're cut off from God. Because light and dark can't coexist. So one of the very first and one of the biggest things that Christians believe in is that we need to be saved. We need to be saved from our sin. And we can't do it. Which leads us to the second big difference. We know that Jesus can save us. Back to verse 3 and 4. Out of God's love, look what happens. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried and he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures. We know that Jesus Christ died for our sins. And you want a verse or two that gives you the essence of the gospel? Here it is. We're all sinners. We need to be saved. Cannot save ourselves. But out of God's love, he did it for us. You probably remember, it's a true story from World War II. The British were bombing Berlin and one of the planes was hit by anti-aircraft fire and was severely damaged. The crew was severely damaged. And back then with the old bombers, you'd have... Yeah, it was between 6 to 10 people on each plane doing different roles. And in this plane, most of them were injured, including the pilot. And he was barely keeping the plane going. And he called out and said, "Can anyone lighten the load, throw out the ammunition, throw out the bombs that we've got left so we can actually get home and be safe?" One man called out, "I will do my best. I'm the chaplain, but I'll do my best." Because he was the chaplain of the squad. And so he did. He started throwing out the old bombs and doing what he could. And as the plane headed back over France and headed towards the sea, the plane was getting lower and lower and they didn't think they could make it. At the last moment, the pilot, barely keeping going, said, "Throw out anything else that we can throw out." A little while later, the plane lifted a little bit in the sky. They were able to return home safely. As they returned over the cliffs of Dover, the pilot called out, "Thank you, chaplain. Thank you for lightening our load." He got no response. The chaplain had thrown himself out to save the rest of their lives. Some people look at that and they think Jesus is a bit like that. They know the Bible says that we need to be saved. They know the Bible says that Jesus saved us. And they think, yeah, he did it that one time like the chaplain and now he's dead. And that's it. He helped people, but now he's dead. All the world religions, all their leaders, all their gurus, all their people, they're dead. But did you notice verse 3? You notice in here when it talked in verse 4, the gospel that he died, he was buried, and he was raised on the third day. dead, buried, and raised to new life. When Jesus said we need to be saved, when Jesus said, I will save you, Jesus then proved it by coming back from the dead. Often when we share the gospel story, or we say, what do Christians believe? We would say something a little bit more than I did at the beginning. Yes, we might believe in God. We might even say, yes, we're sinners and we need to be saved. And then we say, Jesus died. And we often end the story there. But that's not the whole gospel message, is it? In a way, it's not even the biggest part of the gospel message. He's not dead. That he was raised to life. He conquered sin. He conquered death. And he's going to return. And that promise, when he did that, when he came back to life, he said, all that stuff I've told you before, that you need to be saved and I'll save you, I just proved it. You can believe in it. You can have the assurance. And today, if you are someone who has made the choice to love and follow Jesus, to believe in him, to be a Christian, then you can know for certain that you will be with God. That you one day, either when you go to meet him or he returns before, while you're still alive, you will get to go to heaven. Why? Because Jesus was resurrected. Conquering sin, conquering death, a new body, a new life. That awaits anyone that wants to follow him. The whole picture of light and dark, because of what Jesus has done, he's given us an opportunity. If we believe, God no longer looks at us as dark. Scripture talks about it as being, we are washed whiter than snow. It gives us the opportunity to be a part of God's family again. What do Christians believe? We know we need to be saved. We know we cannot do it ourselves. But we know that Jesus did it for us. I wonder what choice you've made today. Do you know what Christians believe? Have you made the choice of accepting and loving and following Jesus? So you are a Christian. You're a Christ follower. That's where the name comes from. Or if you're still sitting on the fence, what's stopping you from making the choice to follow him today? I want to in part and close with a story which comes from Billy Graham. Billy Graham was doing one of his talking engagements, and he was someone, this African asked to meet with him, and the African was called Joe. And he went to him and he said to Billy Graham, I want you to keep your crusades going. I want you to always share the gospel and do not stop. And Billy Graham just very politely, yeah, thank you. I'll keep going. And he said, Joe said, I really want you to keep going because I want to tell you about somebody. I want to tell you about an African who met a missionary, came to know Jesus, and then went back to his village. He was the only Christian in his village. And he talked to his village about Jesus, about the need to be saved, about Jesus saving them and everything like that. And the village response was to whip him, to beat him, to stone him and to throw him out of the village. The African took a while to heal but then returned to the village. Now, if that was you in your situation, would you talk about Jesus again? Sadly, probably a lot of us would say, oh, let's think about some other topic for a little while. The African talked about Jesus again. He said to the village, you need to be saved. God loves you. He was beaten again and thrown out of the village. He did this three times. On the fourth time, he almost died. As they carried him out and threw him out into the bush, he closed his eyes for what he thought was the last time. A little while later, he opened his eyes. He found that he was in a bed, that his wounds on his back and face and everything were bandaged and bathed and treated well. And at the foot of the bed was the chief of the village. And the chief said to him, "We nearly killed you four times. And you kept coming back and telling us that we needed saving. We told you, you needed saving from us. You came back again and again, willing to die, telling us we needed to be saved. We want to know about your God. And the whole village, remarkably, came to faith. That whole village then split and went their own way, because each person in the village went out as a missionary to other villages. Billy Graham was reduced to tears as he heard that story. And he said, yes, I will continue to share Jesus with the world. And as the African turned to leave, and as he reached out, he wanted to pat Joe on the back and say thank you. He saw Joe wince. And as he did so, Billy, as he touched his back, saw the shirt move and realized that his back was scarred, that Joe himself had been that African who had nearly died. Billy wept again and said, from now until I die, I will share the gospel, because I'll face nothing like this guy did. What about us? We'll probably never have to face something like that. And I think at times we can hear stories like that and think, yeah, that's all right. We don't have to face that. It's okay. But do you realize that every single day God calls you to actually share Jesus with people? See, that's why I want us to know, what do Christians believe? That's why I want us to know what the gospel message is, because as we breathe every day, and that's natural, so should be sharing the gospel with people. So the challenge from all of us in this room who do call ourselves Christian, and most of us do, do we take the opportunities God gives us every day? Do we take the time to share? Do we share the whole gospel? And when I said here, look at these verses, it talks about the sin, it talks about needing to be saved, it talks about what Jesus did, it talks about him being dead, buried, resurrected. Yeah, that's the whole gospel message. You can throw in there that he's coming back. Yeah, sometimes I hear people sharing the gospel message and they'll say, God loves you. There, I've done it. Is that the gospel message? It's true. God loves you. God is love. What's the flip side of the coin of God being love? Is that out of God's love, God brings judgment. We need to share the gospel, the whole gospel. We need to be saved. Jesus came to save, dead, buried, resurrected, coming back. That's the gospel message. Do we know it? Do we live it? Do we make the choice to share it? Paul finishes his letter to the church at Corinth. If you truly know what you believe, then you'd go out and live God's way. And for them, they'd stop all the nonsense that they were going on with. It's the same challenge for us as we wrap up this letter. What do we believe? If we believe what Paul says, how does that come out in how we live? Let me pray. Father, we thank you that you do love us. We thank you that you didn't leave us in our sin with no way out. That while we were your enemies, your son died on that cross, faced the excruciating death, was buried, resurrected, so that we could be forgiven for our sins. Father, help us not to take that story for granted. Help us not to think it's just for us, but that we live in a world that is crying out to hear that gospel message. And you use us, Father. So maybe this week, Father, with someone we've already shared with, maybe it's with someone who we haven't shared with before, give us the feet to go talk to them and the words to say. Father, we thank you that we can be your mouthpiece to our world. We pray for this today in your name. Amen.